Excuse me, I was running a little bit late this morning, generally speaking, it's real flattering to be part of this panel. Those of you who are, you know, familiar with Clay and kind of the nature and culture of Clay, is it tends to be a pretty close-knit community. So this is a really great opportunity for me to meet some new artists, and as well as be reacquainted with some that I've known before. Yeah. So I'm going to lay a little bit of foundational ideas in terms of how my thought process has tended to evolve. All right. So I grew up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, a small town there in the mountains just south of Asheville. And while the town has grown a lot since my childhood, I'm aware of the fact that it encompassed many standard features of the rural American experience. While there were certainly many positives I associated with this, my cynical nature generally found the negatives as well. For example, the mountains of North Carolina offer an unparalleled natural topography. While the beauty was seemingly appreciated by all who lived there, the locals were more than willing to blight the scenery with an enormous blanket of billboards. There was and still is a sense of history of this place as a summer haven for wealthy, worldly Southerners, while just hidden in the hills are mountain folk still living culturally isolated lives. There's always been a strange codependence between the two extremes, with the tourists in need of the Appalachian amenities, or quaint lack thereof, to make them feel as though they are getting back to some notion of a simpler life. Many locals with any knowledge of cultural heritage can oblige the mountain fantasy by creating a simple spectacle of that mountain experience, whether it's picking apples at local orchards or visiting roadside markets lined with jams, jellies, and NASCAR collectibles. Growing up there, I was acutely aware of being caught both culturally and financially in the middle. Neither of my parents were from that part of the country. My father was from England. My mother was from South Louisiana. So the culture was as alien to me as it was to them. I had few cultural experience that I might be considered kind of Appalachian in nature growing up. That's to say, I never really hunted, probably fished and camped a couple of times. Financially, we're very much a middle-class family. Both my parents were involved in middle-class education. But considering that the bus dropped me off in front of a neighborhood with houses rather than the trailer parks like most of my classmates, we were considered relatively well-to-do. That said, for lack of money, my childhood summers were spent washing dishes, mowing grass, and dumping trash for wealthy summer visitors in their enclaves and camps of the region. My real claim to fame in my neighborhood was that it was a home to the famous McCrary twins. They are the Guinness Book. Those of my generation might recognize their images from the back covers of the Guinness Book of World Records. And their name actually is McCrary, but however, when they predominantly made their financial windfall touring Japan as professional wrestlers, also the world's heaviest twins, and McGuire was easier to pronounce. I really honestly don't show these men to either mock or criticize them for their heavy statures. In an area of the country, in that part of the state, isolated, obviously Bible Belt area, religiously and politically conservative, they were truly considered local heroes for making it kind of on their own terms and by and large with a God-given talent. Also, I should say that kind of the preface of my work, for the last number of years, my work has involved animals. Therefore, briefly, I should mention that kind of initial interest was instilled at greyhound tracks that I used to pass when driving from my home of North Carolina down to Louisiana State University. I saw these animals not necessarily as victims, but as a kind of simple and obvious example of an industry-fueled species, much in the model prescribed by Descartes, with machine-like qualities, bred in and out to best design an animal for their particular task, which in this case was to run and run fast. I'm primarily interested in the crafting of objects. I've always been drawn to the potential they have to kind of encapsulate and contain ideas within a given space. I'll touch on this a little bit more in a minute, but my work tends to be kind of contextually derivative of specific aesthetic qualities. Most often those that I associate with, that personal biography that had little exposure to art outside of what I could consume in Hendersonville, North Carolina, and more specifically, that for me was what was kind of found on the retail shelves of that town. and I hate to admit that I'm kind of, formally speaking, I owe my kind of intuitive hardwiring to such banal sources as these. But these two instances, pretty much, you know, I can trace large aspects of my work to these two examples. On the left is a Lucite paperweight given to me by a next-door neighbor who traveled to the, you know, alien land of the Southwest. And so here was this, you know, creature, insect-like, you know, spider, I didn't really know, but encased in this resin, you know, it was obviously completely dead, unalterable from its, you know, current state. But it drove me crazy that I couldn't access it and kind of see what it felt like. It was just like a really kind of indeterminate frustration for me. As well on the right, this is Maskatron. The value that he had for me is that he had these, like, attributes that were essentially these, like, jewel-like components. This was $6 million man Steve Austin's evil nemesis. And those were the computer parts there. There's, like, plastic faceplate and whatnot. But as a child, I would kind of pop these out and, like, carry them with me because they had this, like, you know, jewel-like quality that kind of exceeded the value of the figure itself. I would say, too, that I know my work became more kind of biographically regional and hence, I would say, rural once I left North Carolina. That was to go to undergraduate school at Louisiana State University and then graduate school at the University of Washington. And again, growing up without a real appreciation for art and amongst friends with even less kind of visual knowledge, I've always felt a real need kind of intuitively to make work with a particular sensibility, one that doesn't necessarily communicate with the people I grew up with, but that doesn't alienate or mock them either. I certainly wouldn't say this is, you know, any of this work is an homage, but I think the formal components that make up the work are part of a visual language that is largely understandable to those people, maybe only intuitively. And I'll talk a little bit about individual pieces. I guess I should address a little bit just my notion of using animals in general. In regards to use of the animal specimens, well, it's often more of a formal decision, and it'll vary in the work. I feel that absolutely all people in one way or another act as both, you know, to honor and consume animals. My own direct use forces me to readily acknowledge my own kind of conflicted consumptive role. To some extent, I'm interested in the kind of ego attached to this and the process to attempt to almost justify the consumption of animals by including them in ridiculous settings that makes them sometimes more like anatomical models and sometimes more like humorous participants. This piece is entitled 4-H. Completed a few years ago. It's a calf's head. And in talking to people about the work and the anatomical models, people constantly tell me stories of growing up in rural areas when they had the state fairs or 4-H fairs with cattle that essentially had their sides removed and plexiglass installed to allow the visual of the inside of the animals. So that's kind of what this piece is based on. Another small piece. Generally speaking, for me, clay as a medium offers kind of an unparalleled intimacy for the artist. It has the ability to either reflect every physical action against it or completely hide evidence of the artist's hand. Formally speaking, in regards to my use of clay, I'm often less concerned with the historical context of the material, especially in what might be considered the 20th century American model. That said, as I mentioned, I do generally produce work that is contextually derivative. As is often the case, however, the frame of reference from which I've chosen may have very little relation to ceramics. In terms of like that kind of like contextual, this is the anatomical woman there on the right and kind of a clear attempt there on the left, which is the detail of the legs. Albino doe, and again, contextually here, looking somewhere between hopefully an anatomical model and the decorative notion of a taxidermy reference, including my name here on the bottom of this kind of taxidermy plaque. Again, it's kind of a reference to that ego, the notion and justification of kind of consumption. Small squirrel. Again, the idea here is, you know, for me it becomes about also levels of realism. And the important thing for me is clay's kind of ability to resemble anything. To a large extent, it can be very telling as to the physical doggedness and commitment used to sculpt it. As an art-making material, is directly intimate. And the important factor for me is that even though a lot of people may not necessarily be kind of versed in the technology or technical aspects of working with clay, I do think that kind of the evidence of time spent in clay can be kind of understood by those who aren't familiar with the media. As well, it's been sometimes important for me to kind of, in these pieces that are more kind of formal, to kind of apply them with some sense of like an indeterminate history. to hopefully kind of question their derivation to an extent. More specifically, in terms of context, and again, I said a lot of times the context aren't necessarily clay related, but this one is based on some of the early Dresden Meissen figurines, which probably not familiar, but Candler and Kirchner. This is back in the day when ceramics and essentially things like soft and hard paste porcelain were like industry secrets. And so they're there desperately trying to learn how to make these figurines, and so they were having a large trouble with cracks. Of course, now these works are greatly revered. But, you know, as much as I love clay for its strengths, I kind of love it for its limitations. And a lot of times, you know, the proverbial, I wouldn't say happy accident, but, you know, a lot of times I will use materials like this is the Gralegg porcelain, which for those of you who know, it can be a little bit finicky, and solid slabs of it are kind of destined to crack like this. Detail of the other side. Another thing that interests me, too, is this kind of combination of different aesthetics. So, again, comparing one side here, which again is based on this kind of, shall we say, highfalutin, you know, Meissen porcelain. The other side being, you know, polished almost like plastics. This is actually polished porcelain within kind of a epoxy coat on it. But the idea is on one side having this kind of elegant media material, on the other side having something that's completely shorn of detail, and somehow it kind of cheapening it, and having this kind of you know, cross of that. Most of my work doesn't actually come from molds. In many cases, I'll make, you know, I do use molds on occasion, but generally I'm only making one of something, so I don't really need, unless I need to replicate it, I don't need to, you know, have a mold. But in a lot of cases, I'll actually apply a fake seam line so that it actually looks like it does come out of a mold. Again, to kind of, to some extent, kind of cheapen that process of actually, you know, putting that labor into it. Smaller piece, and again, these are more kind of anatomical models. In terms of the way I consume animals, you know, in acknowledging that consumptive role, I tend to do a lot of roadkill. I do some of the taxidermy myself. I have a freeze dryer that does a lot. The parakeet on that previous piece, incidentally, came from an Ann Hamilton installation, which had been done in Seattle. And lots of parakeets, you might be familiar with the work, but they were dropping like flies. And I was fortunate to get some of them put into a freezer. Very small piece, and this is another instance. This is this particular piece. I've gotten better with some of my techniques. It's hard to tell from here. This is polished porcelain, but for me, it looks closer to probably to plastic than it does to something that was, you know, labored over pretty extensively. And I kind of like that the translation of the material. Opposite side of that. Slightly different kind of context for this work. I'll say generally too. My creative process tends to be one of kind of experiential nature. Such that in terms of like doing the taxidermy, even if I'm simply cutting it, it often requires me to kind of suspend that emotional association one would rationally consider when doing such an activity, again, such as dissecting or skinning. The important thing here for me, and the reason I really got into it, is I wanted a particular kind of, you know, to tap at least a potential kind of empathic response from the viewer. And in terms of kind of, you know, the again, animal rights issues, I think people, you know, viewers are willing to kind of draw their own ethical lines and in many cases kind of drawn by their own, you know, upbringing. You know, growing up in the area where I grew up, taxidermy was, you know, it was just run-of-the-mill and very understandable. Whereas in the context of the gallery, certainly those things changed quite a bit. Small detail of the same piece. Again, at this point, trying to add, like, some, like, level of humor to the idea, you know, hoping that I can kind of make this, you know, notion of consumption disappear ever so slightly or recede a bit. This is a piece called Tricky Buck, kind of a glorification of the big mouth billy bass, if you guys are familiar with that, which was ever popular a few years ago. At Christmas time, you button you push and this, you know, plastic fish would turn its head and sing to you. So there's a small button on the plaque there, and you push the button, a cigar lights up and starts to smoke. So kind of, you know, deer in the image of the hunter to an extent. This is one of kind of three pieces that were, you know, contextualized small. This squirrel was purchased as such, well, I mean, minus the helmet and the sparkly life jacket on eBay with a cigarette in its mouth already that way. So buying them kind of in that state and keeping them in that way. Another piece is supposed to be intended to be kind of satirical, contextual reference would be like the Remington bronzes. But, you know, which, you know, given us this kind of, you know, spectacular image of kind of the West and how it was won and developed, you know, and this is something that, much like the Norman Rockwell paintings, that, you know, they've developed this particular kind of understanding of what we have of the West and of America. So just kind of a challenge of that. This is more recent, kind of in the model of those collectible Japanese models. Detail there, and again, this chipmunk, his head's kind of jammed in there, cast within this resin. But kind of this, somewhere between, again, hopefully an unwilling participant. But the idea of humor, again, getting that notion of consumption, hopefully to recede to an extent. The Bitty Boo name there being a reference to Maurizio Catalan's piece with the squirrel. We met an unfortunate demise. A couple pieces that don't have any clay in them, and again, not all of my work involves clay. I say most of it does at this point, but even though it doesn't involve clay, I would certainly say my experience with the media has kind of informed the way I treat other materials. Taxidermy, for instance, as clay is a very kind of like process-oriented image, process-oriented media, excuse me. I could treat, these skins of animals in much the same way, in that I don't necessarily want to recreate them in a notion of life or any kind of existing snapshot of that as much as treat them as skins, as material to be sewn and glued and propped together. Plastic, this idea of this kind of, gluttonous consumption, much in the kind of, contextual model of like Victorian domes, which are typically collected. Just design with things floating in there to be. This piece is entitled, like, Snow Globe, also as a reference. But again, hopefully with that piece and with this one, the idea is that there's, again, I think all viewers will draw a particular line, but hopefully it's kind of simultaneously disturbing and beautiful at the same time. And obviously kind of depending on where you draw that line is the important factor. These are cats, these domestic animals, died of natural causes in case there's concern of that. I don't necessarily want people to know that because obviously it's intended to be a bit unsettling. And clearly because these animals are domestic, we have these in our home, it's a little more hard-hitting, a slightly greater punch in the stomach than, for instance, a deer on the wall. But then hopefully the question to some extent is, well, why do I feel differently about this piece? Detail the same, again, very badly taxidermied animals. The wires are still kind of coming through the legs, doll eyes. This is a more recent piece, back to kind of that formal model. This again is kind of, labored, sculpted porcelain, and then polished to kind of hopefully somewhere between maybe an alabaster or marble sheen and also maybe even closer to plastic. I think looking at the piece is a little hard to tell. Detail kind of that. And again, much kind of in the, it's important to me kind of in that, Robert Hughes model, essentially of producing work, again, that is extremely kind of labor-intensive as kind of hopefully an evidence of that commitment to the idea. And or attentive would be another. And this is the last image, I think. Detail that. Thank you. I'm glad that loaded up quickly.